We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You're listening to Setting the Pace, your go-to Pacers podcast with Alex Golden and Michael Facci.
Miller for three. Oh, he banked it in, and the game is tied. We're going to overtime.
Warren lets it fly. Yes, T.J. Warren is not human.
Ranger catches, shoots for three to win it. He hits it.
To go. Brogdon for three.
Let got it. Go.
O'Neal drives on Yao, puts it in.
Duarte for three.
Boom, baby. Anthony attacks Hibbert. Denies him at the rim.
Caris LeVert, people don't realize how good he really is.
LeVert, skies high for the jam.
Stevenson passes into Sabonis for the basket.
Jackson turns, fires, and
has. Oh, Miles Turner bringing that smoke.
Flips it to the big fella, fake shoots, and
hits. This is TJ McConnell, and you're listening to Setting the Pace.
What's going on, Pacer Nation? Welcome back to another episode. Just a gut-wrenching loss in overtime to the Los Angeles Lakers. 124-116. LeBron James was LeBron James tonight. But joining me tonight, first-time guest on the podcast. Super excited to have him on. It's the one and only Brendan King. BK, what's going on, man?
Hey, Golden. Thanks for having me, man. Yeah, tough one tonight. And as you said, LeBron was LeBron. And, you know, just when you're starting to get used to him not being in Cambridge, you know, however many times a year with Cleveland, the one time he's in with LA, he comes to strike, you know?
Absolutely. So let's just talk about this game. I guess where to start off, I don't even know, because it was really competitive back and forth. But what do you think was a turning point for when the Pacers just end up losing that lead?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. The back-to-back Ellington threes, I mean, would you put it on that? I mean, I was listening to the radio call on my way. I'm in the studio right now, just knocking out some sports for the morning. And, you know, I was listening to Mark Boyle on the way in. And one thing he commented on was, you know, what else does Wayne Ellington do other than shoot threes? He's 4 out of 6 tonight. But the second three, you know, Mark Boyle was questioning, how do you leave that guy open? And when he hits back-to-back threes, that's a quick 6-point swing. Then LeBron gets hot. And then by that point, you don't have an answer.
Yeah, it really did feel like it swung in that fourth quarter when Ellington went 4 for 6 from the game and then Monk went 3 of 6. They just hit so many dagger threes whenever the Pacers would get up. I think they were up by 9 at one point, and they hit back-to-back threes, cut it to within 3 just like that. So it's like every time the Pacers would get a comfortable lead, you know, by like 2 or 3 possessions, here come the Lakers knocking down threes. And if you look at the stats, man, it just felt like the Lakers really like kind of baiting the Pacers into shooting a lot of threes. They shot 46 threes tonight out of 104 attempts from the field, only 28% from the field from three. So to me, especially with a team that doesn't have very many centers, no Anthony Davis, Dwight Howard didn't hardly play, only played 14 minutes. DeAndre Jordan only played 21 minutes, and Sabonis had 9 shot attempts. The Lakers did a good job of forcing the Pacers to fall for that 3-point shot by protecting the paint, but I felt like they did a bad job of trying to get the ball down low to make them pay for their lack of size, and it really just didn't feel like a great offensive rhythm there towards the end.
Yeah, and when I think about the Lakers, maybe this is just me not following the Western Conference close enough since we're in Indianapolis, but like they got old so fast.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, like so fast. I mean, look at this roster, Eagle. I mean, you know, DeAndre Jordan, Russell Westbrook, Avery Bradley, Carmelo, Dwight. I mean, is Malik Monk their youngest player?
It's got to be him or Reeves, who didn't play tonight.
Yeah, so. I mean, goodness. They look, I realize that the youth movement in the NBA is working for some people, but if they go along and they contend this year, I mean, does that mean everybody's just going to try and get old at the same time? Because you know how trends work in the NBA. Yeah. We all know how trends work in the NBA. When somebody makes one thing work, it just is gaslit, and everybody tries to copy it. So if the Lakers win old, is that going to be are we going back to the old school NBA? I mean, that'd be really enticing to watch.
Yeah, I don't think we are, actually. I think the Lakers probably make a few moves before the deadline, because just they're only 10-10, right? And I mean, the Pacers are 8-11 coming into this game. They've been so hot and cold, and they really struggled. The Lakers did with this Pacers team for the majority of the game before, you know, things kind of got out of hand. And just, I really think the turning point of the game, to me anyway, was when they called the flagrant foul on Sabonis with LeBron down there. If you go back in the first half, They called a common foul on Dwight Howard for hitting Domantas Sabonis in the face 10 times harder than Domas hit LeBron in the face. So I was like, this is just so stupid. It was funny. I tweeted out, like, you know, Lakers players love hitting opposing centers in the face, just kind of joking. And somebody replied and said, if that was Domas on LeBron, it'd be a flagrant too. Well, fast forward to the fourth quarter, and that was right. So it just felt like LeBron James, once again, got a lot of the beneficial calls, and it's frustrating as a fan, but I think we just need to take a moment and just say, what a shot by Chris Duarte to put this game into overtime. It was really, you could have caught a foul on that. I mean, if it was LeBron, they probably do, right? But a rookie hitting that three with the time expiring, I mean, that's his welcome to the NBA moment. What a big time shot from him. And then unfortunately, BK, just in overtime, he could not find the bottom of the net, had so many wide open looks. And you could probably tell the adrenaline was getting to him a little bit, but I think just that experience for him is something that we should talk about a little bit here.
Yeah, I mean, and you mentioned overtime. I mean, usually, like, the LeBron turnaround, step back, 20-footers, it's just like, man, like, you are the only person in the entire world that can do that seriously and be taken seriously, and half the time you're making it. But, man, what a game for Chris Duarte, just said, hey, Golden. I said it from the start when I was doing the morning show with Kevin of I don't think it's a bad thing that he's 25 years old. I actually think that's a good thing where the state of this team is right now, because you needed somebody to come in and you needed somebody to make shots. And I've always said Chris Duarte played for one of the craziest college coaches in Dana Altman, psychopath. But that gave him like the pro experience and the necessary coaching to come into the NBA, where Rick Carlisle said this is the craziest early season slate he's ever had. I want a rookie that can handle that. If that means the rookie's 25 years old, I'm cool with it, especially with the way that Duarte has been making shots. Now, 3-10 from deep tonight, missed both of his free throws, 17 points. But, hey, he's on my fantasy team, and he's great. Yeah. so, you know, I'm very happy with it. And I think the kid's going to be a star, but around him, I don't think you could just count on a rookie, no matter how old they are. It could be a 28-year-old rookie. If somebody's coming into the NBA for the first time, sure, he's going to make his shots, but around him, not only do you need to play stellar defense, but you need somebody else around him to make shots to take people off the ball from him.
Yeah, and that's a great point, because really, I mean, Brogdon had a really good game, 28 points, but on 21 shots, I mean, it's not bad efficiency, 9 for 21, just below 50% there. I mean, he was 5 of 10 from 3, though. I mean, he was really one of the only consistent guys from 3. Justin Holiday shot 33%. And like you said, Duarte shot 30%. But Keelan Martin, TJ McConnell, Torrey Craig, and Miles Turner, they were a combined 1 for 11 from 3. Karis LeVert, 0 for 3 from 3. So it just felt like, you know, Turner, if he hits a couple more of those threes that we've seen him do so timely in this season, it just, this game probably turns around. And it was a little bit puzzling while Turner was not out there when the Lakers started to cut into that Pacers lead. But I just tell you, in overtime, it was going back and forth a little bit. It seemed like it was just kind of, you know, a lot of emotions running. Well, LeBron hits those two killer threes and then a fadeaway jumper. Right. I mean, he just hit back-to-back-to-back big-time shots. And, of course, he was able to get two fans ejected from the game in the front row, which I don't even know what they said, but He was
Really? I didn't see that part.
Yeah. So you were listening to the radio, I'm assuming, but
yeah.
Yeah. So it was like with like 2 minutes and 49 seconds left, they stopped gameplay because LeBron said, "These MFers, something, something." And then he pointed to two young kids. I mean, I'm telling you, this kid was probably 23. Like that's how old he looked. Like, not very old, and his girl. And he just kind of sat there and just looked like he didn't do anything. I'm sure that he did something for LeBron to be that upset about it. I don't know what he did, but they escorted him out immediately because of what LeBron said that they said. So I don't have any idea. It just
so LeBron gets flagrant twos and he gets people kicked out of games.
Exactly. And then he was hitting everything. So it was LeBron show for the end of the fourth quarter and overtime. Got a terrible fifth foul on Domas. Literally, LeBron just fell down and was like leaning against Domas. Domas didn't even put his hands over him like sometimes he does when he's boxing out or fighting for a board, and they called a foul on Domas. So just frustrating, I think, overall. So looking at this game, I think you just chalk it up to the Lakers. LeBron was probably ready to get some blood back after getting suspended for one game. I don't have too much to say about this loss. I mean, it's a tough one, but at least the Pacers were competitive in it, and hopefully they can build off of that momentum and come back hungry for the next couple of games.
Yeah, and, you know, Caris LeVert, too, a golden 27 minutes, 10 points. You know, I'm not saying he has to score 20 a night, but he has had a 20-point game in seven games.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have to be the guy, I don't think, because Brogdon is technically the leader, right? And I really want them to get Sabonis involved more. But, like, you know, you acquired LeVert not to be Oladipo, but you acquired LeVert to play part of what Oladipo did. And the one thing Oladipo did for you, even though towards the end, that attitude was just mad annoying. You brought in Caris LeVert to pretty much, you know, drop 18, 20 a night. And, you know, a week straight of being held under 20 is not overly concerning. It's just you would like to see more. Am I wrong?
I think you would, but I also think that we should address the fact that before tonight's game, he was on the injury list as questionable. Yeah. Said he would be on a minutes restriction once again. He's still dealing with that back injury. I don't know how severe it is. We know he's not a great defender. He's not even close to what Victor was defensively, because Victor that first year here in 17-18 was just so good at shooting the gaps and getting the steals. Mm-hmm. I think he led the NBA in steals that season. So LeVert's not defensively anything close to Oladipo, nor is he the three-point shooter that Oladipo was, because Caris is just a very streaky player. There were some really nice moments there in the first quarter where he was hitting a lot of good shots, and I think his efficiency was much better. And then as the game prolonged, I mean, the shots were just getting tougher, and the Lakers were kind of forcing it defensively with some of the shots they were trying to, you know, bait the Pacers into taking. There were a lot of fadeaway jumpers and contested shots, and instead of just trying to slow it down and get it into the paint a little bit more, I think they could have benefited from that. But, you know, I'm trying to be patient with LeVert, I guess is the correct word, because like you said, when he was fully healthy last year in that Bjorken system,
he's great.
Looked really, really good. So you're hoping that, hey, maybe once he gets through this injury a little bit, like Duarte was asked about it at halftime from Jeremiah Johnson, he said he's still dealing with a shoulder injury. So who knows if that injury was bothering him towards the end of the game. I don't know. I'm not going to use that as an excuse for why we lost or anything, but you got two of your guys that you're relying on quite a bit, and Duarte and LeVert that are struggling with injuries that will impact your game.
Just continues, man. It's just the injuries. It's unbelievable. It really is. Just around Indianapolis in general, I think. It's the Indianapolis curse, it feels like.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we're nearly as bad as the Denver Nuggets are right now, losing another player. It's just like, you feel bad for them, but you see what they have in Jokic, and he just is that he's just that guy that keeps that engine running. But all right, well, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to do a really fun segment for you guys. With it being Thanksgiving, when you're probably listening to this, we're going to run down all of the items here for your normal Thanksgiving meal, and we're going to compare them to Pacers players. So hope you guys enjoy this segment. We'll be right back after this. All right, so before we get back to the show with Brendan King, we did have two voicemails talking about Chris Duarte in this Pacers game. So I want to let those air, and then we'll get right back to it with Brendan King.
Yeah, hi. I just wanted to call and say that Chris Duarte is poppy, and that's all I have for you. Also, he is the Dominican Klay Thompson. Let's go, Pacers.
Hey guys, love your show. Listen all the time. I interact with you sometimes on Twitter. Alex, Scott Stein, NNJ. Yeah, tough loss for the Pacers at home. Not too discouraged by it, not as much as other games at least. When LeBron's making shots like that, it's really, really hard to win. And the Lakers just have so many three-point shot makers. And it just, in overtime especially, if Duarte makes just a couple of those good looks that he got, it's a totally different complexion to the game. But as he said at the halftime interview, that his shoulder hurts. So that's something to bear in mind. I think that he'll get it back, and I think that they'll be all right. Actually, this wasn't too bad of a loss, I don't think. Back to LeBron, Sabonis is guarding him, you know, on those pick and roll switches, and he's got 5 fouls, so what can he do? LeBron will exploit that if he tries to get a little bit too aggressive, and the refs will probably call it because he's LeBron, so it just didn't work out for us tonight, but I was very encouraged by Duarte's aggressiveness. And once he feels better, I think he's going to be a really, really good player. And I'm encouraged by that. So I think they'll be all right. We'll see what happens. So, yeah, thanks, guys, for taking the voicemail. Maybe you'll use this. And, yeah, like I said, love the show. Listen to you guys all the time. Keep up the good work. Later.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early, so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, Brendan, I'm getting hungry thinking about what's going to be served tomorrow at Thanksgiving. So I guess that you're my guest, first time guest. Where do you want to start with all these with all this food that we put out here for our list?
Well, I thought you put together a ubiquitous list.
Can you explain to me what that word means? Because I'm not following.
ubiquitous. The definition of ubiquitous is touching like every angle, touching every corner. Yeah, I've been listening to too much of Mark Boyle on the radio.
Well, that's a very Mark Boyle word.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, I mean, are we going in chronological order? We jump it around?
Well,
your call.
Here's what I'll tell people. We ended up coming up with 16 items. That way we could include Rick Carlisle in the mix. So that was part of the reason why. I don't really know if I like where I put him. But let's just start from the top and work our way down. So the big one. Let's just start with the turkey. Who do you have for the turkey?
We might have the same answer here, but when I think of turkey, that's the captain of the meal, right? I mean, if you could have turkey and ham at Thanksgiving, I feel, but if you have one and not the other, that's a bit weird. So the turkey's the captain, and the captain, I guess, by nature, is Malcolm Brogdon. So that's probably my most basic answer I have. I think the rest will be better.
Okay, so I do not have Malcolm as the turkey.
Okay.
Do you have? I'm curious. Who do you have as the ham?
You want to give me your turkey first?
Well, I want to explain my turkey and my ham discussion. So that's why I want to know who your ham is.
So I like I said, I don't think it's Thanksgiving without turkey, but I do prefer ham to the turkey.
Okay.
You cannot beat a good holiday ham. And that's because my grandparents are from Italy and they got their ham every Thanksgiving and Christmas from this little Italian shop in Orland Park, Illinois, and it was delectable.
Okay.
So in my opinion, ham as a universal food type does not get enough respect. And as you know, Alex Golden, I am a Miles Turner guy.
Okay.
And I do not believe Miles Turner gets enough respect from around the league and here in the city. So my ham goes to Miles Turner.
Okay, so our ham is the same, which is funny.
Wow, how about that?
My turkey was Domantas Sabonis.
And okay.
I will explain this real quick because you brought it up. Everybody has a debate. Which is better, turkey or ham, right? It's the never-ending debate. Now, people say, oh, you shouldn't have ham on Thanksgiving. That's for Christmas. Some people say, I don't like turkey. I want ham all the time. And right. Then some people are like, no, it's turkey. We're having that for Thanksgiving. So I felt like because there's such an internal debate between these two foods, I had to go with both of them. And I believe they're both the two longest tenured Pacers as well. So
there you go.
It felt like these two guys are the most familiar, the most popular with the fan base. And you can make that debate. What do you like better, turkey or ham? And I think that is the conversation we've had for the last, 3 years now about Trebonus. So that's where I went with that one. I hope that makes a little bit of sense.
No, that does make sense.
So that's why I went with that. So for the mashed potatoes, that's where I went with Malcolm Brogdon.
Okay.
I think mashed potatoes are probably your most solid side. Sometimes they're not always the most flashy, but they're always so good and they're always consistently good. And I feel like if you watch Malcolm Brogdon play most of the time, you're going to get those consistent games from him where he plays and puts up good numbers, even in losses. Now, he might not always play terrific, but I feel like he's always pretty good and pretty steady out there.
See, that's exactly why, Alex Golden, I went with Domantas Sabonis for mashed potatoes based on what you just said. Consistency and always there for you. Domantas Sabonis, nearly a double-double a night. When you dig into the mashed potatoes, 9 times out of 10, they are going to be good. You really have to screw up mashed potatoes. You really have to screw up mashed potatoes to do them wrong.
That's very fair.
And Domantas Sabonis really usually has to screw up to not record a double-double. So, Domantas Sabonis, my mashed potatoes.
Okay, well, let's move on to the number four here, the corn.
Okay.
What do you have for corn?
All right, hear me out. TJ Warren is my corn.
Okay.
Because I don't know who would do this, but some people put canned corn on the table and some people put corn on the cob on the table. And with the consistency of corn, the corn on the cob is obviously beautiful. That's the stuff that's hitting you 20 a night. But the canned corn is what's on the bench when you're having injury problems. And you never know what you're going to get from TJ Warren, whether he's healthy, whether he's not healthy. TJ, corn can be really good if you do it right, if you get it on the cob, but it can also really suck if you get it in the corn, in the can.
It's funny you say that because TJ Warren was probably the hardest person for me to put in this group of people. I don't know why, but it was hard for me because he's been out for so long.
Right,
So for me, for the corn, I will explain this real quick before I give it to you who it is. There are so many different styles of corn that you can have at Thanksgiving. You can have cream of corn. You can have corn pudding. You can even have corn bread. You can have corn by itself. You can have corn on the cob. And so I felt like, who was a guy that always just kind of seems to fit whatever role he's asked to play? And I felt like that was Justin Holiday, whether it's coming off the bench, whether it's starting, whether it's just being who he is. I felt like Justin Holiday is the corn of this team.
That is I like that answer. I like both of our answers.
Okay. Well, let's move on to the green bean casserole.
So I asked everybody on Indiana Sports Talk last week what their favorite side was.
Yes, me.
And I did ask you, and you responded green bean casserole, right?
Yes, I did.
Okay. I am not a green bean casserole.
Okay.
A green bean casserole to me doesn't really have a spot at the table for our Thanksgiving. Now, I'm very sorry to say that. We do Thanksgivings a little different. Like I said, we're Italian, so many dishes on this list that you gave me, which is a good Thanksgiving list, but many dishes on this list are replaced by like pasta and other Italian stuff. Okay. So we have a very untraditional Thanksgiving, but at least this year, a guy that does not have a seat at the table so far is O'Shea Brissett.
Hmm. Okay. That is why I picked O'Shea for one later that we will get to.
Okay.
I think that's a very fair point, but I feel like if you look at the starting five of side dishes, when it comes to Thanksgiving Day, green bean casserole has to be in there. And so
I respect it. Trust me.
Right. So this is where I struggled, like I said, but I put TJ Warren as green bean casserole because, you know, it's not for everybody. Right. But at the same time, if you give it a try, you're going to like it, but it's not always consistent based on who makes it. So I felt like we're just not consistent with TJ Warren's role because of his health problems. So to me, this was the toughest one. So I gave him the green bean casserole, really just out of respect, because it's, to me, if you're looking at turkey and ham, they're number one and number two. And then you got mashed potatoes, green bean casserole, and then whatever you want to add in there with the fifth, it could be stuffing, sweet potato casserole, mac and cheese, you know, there's arguments beyond that, but I felt like, for me anyway, it's in my starting five. So I felt like I had to give it to TJ Warren. So,
the thing about Thanksgiving though, is like, you can make an argument for literally any type of food. And people will hear you out. I don't think there's the traditional Thanksgiving menu, but when you make an argument for something you like, people will usually hear you out.
Mm-hmm. I completely agree. Let's move on to number six, sweet potato casserole. Another tough one for me, but because I don't like sweet potato casserole, but I know a lot of people do. So what is your, who did you have for the sweet potato casserole roll?
That would be Justin Holiday, Golden. Okay. Sweet potato casserole, I don't mind it. It's 50-50 for me, but it has to be done right. And I had an aunt years ago that made the sweet potato casserole, but they undercooked it so severely that it was kind of cold in the middle. So when you think about sweet potato casserole, like, you want it like blazing hot in the middle, right? So Justin Holiday is either blazing hot or I think he's freezing cold, depending on the night. That is my reasoning for sweet potato casserole.
Hey, that's a really good reasoning, and I like that, because Justin Holiday has had such an up and down season so far this year. For me, I did this because sometimes you like it and sometimes you don't. I put TJ McConnell, and the reason I say that is because sometimes you're just like watching him play and you're like, okay, he's being used off ball a little bit too much, he's not a good three-point shooter. Who is this guy? And then other times you're like, man, that guy's got some sweet passes. He's really mucking it up on defense. And I feel like that's what sweet potato casserole is, depending on if you like it or not. I think it's kind of a 50-50 thing for people.
It is 50-50.
I don't like it. I do like the marshmallows on top if you do the casserole dish that way. So there's some sweetness to it that I like, but there's also parts of it I don't like to their game. And so I felt like it's not like the perfect dish. So that felt like to me, like, hey, that's a role player, that's a point guard, that's TJ McConnell. So that is who I had for the sweet potato casserole. Let's move on to stuffing. What'd you have for stuffing?
So this was the last one I filled in, and I had a hard time finding a player for it. So when I think about stuffing, that's like the heart and soul of Thanksgiving. And when I think of heart and soul, I actually go to the bench. And as you know, I'm a Butler graduate. The heart and soul of the Butler Bulldogs for many years on their Final Four runs was Ronald Norrett. And the assistant coach of the Indiana Pacers, when I want to go into battle with somebody, I want Ronald Norrett fighting in front of me. So hearty, stuffing, Ronald Norrett.
So who did you leave out player-wise?
Like Dwayne Washington, I think.
Oh, okay. Well, we might have to cross that bridge and see who you missed because I had the 15-man roster with Carlisle in there somewhere, unless you didn't put Carlisle in there.
Well, I told you what Carlisle was before this. So
you did. So is that what you're using Carlisle for? Is the one that we didn't? Okay. Yes. Okay. Yeah. So I will let you slide with that one. It's your first time
thank
on.
You.
So
thank you. I appreciate the slide.
For me, I feel like stuffing is a good component of Thanksgiving. I feel like, you know, when you have it, you're like, oh yeah, it's pretty good. And it's just not one of those things that you're always thinking about though. It's like, oh yeah, it's Thanksgiving, we're going to have stuffing. So I went with Torrey Craig. And I feel like when he's on the court, he's impactful, right? Mm-hmm. But it's not always on the offensive end because he's more of a defensive minded player. But there's sometimes where you're like, I wonder why he's not playing more. And that's kind of where I feel about stuffing. Like, it's good when I have it usually. Why don't we eat this more? Why don't we have this as more of a side than just once a year? So that is why I went with stuffing for Torrey Craig. But Ronald Norad, I respect it. I'm glad that we're giving some Butler love there. I know you are a Butler alum, correct?
That's right. 17.
Okay. So that's totally fair. I'll give it to you.
No, thank you. I appreciate it. I appreciate the slide.
Absolutely. So let's move on to this one. I think we might have the same one for this one. I'm just going to guess. Macaroni and cheese.
Interesting. I went with Chris Duarte.
Okay. We don't have the same one.
Okay. I don't mind different.
No, it's okay. I like it too.
Yeah. Okay. So I feel like mac and cheese is one of the newer Thanksgiving foods. I don't remember mac and cheese ever really being around when we were kids, or at least not in my family. But anytime I go to a Friendsgiving now, per se, mac and cheese is always there. So I think in the last 5 years, mac and cheese has really exploded as a Thanksgiving food. And I would call it the rookie of this group. Thus, okay. Chris Duarte is my mac and cheese.
Okay, I respect that. I, too, did not grow up having mac and cheese at Thanksgiving. It was always at Christmas, but not often at Thanksgiving. And so my reasoning for this is because why I picked this player is because mac and cheese can be so filling that sometimes if you have too much of it, it can take away from the rest of the meal and the rest of the entree or whatever you want to call it. So I said Caris LeVert. I feel like it can be a one-man show sometimes and can kind of be a showstopper sometimes too in terms of filling you up, because you're talking noodles, you're talking butter, and you're talking cheese. Nothing gets you more stuck up than macaroni and cheese. And so sometimes the offense for the Pacers can get a little, you know, stagnant because of Caris LeVert and him being a ball stopper. So I felt like while mac and cheese is still like really good, like you look forward to having it, you want it on your plate. There's no doubt about it. But sometimes too much is too much. So that's why I went with that for Caris LeVert as macaroni and cheese. Let's move on to cranberry sauce.
All right, Alex. I hate cranberry sauce.
I'm the same way.
it is lost on the Thanksgiving table. It does not deserve a spot at the table, the kids' table, outside, throw it in the trash. When I think of lost and I think of defensively, that is Mr. Goga Batadze.
Oh, we have a tie. I picked Goga for cranberry sauce too. But my reasoning was different. Okay, so
okay.
What does cranberry sauce usually go with?
Nothing.
Well, it's known to go with the turkey, right? And ooh. So really? I don't. Yeah, that's what that's I looked disgusting. Up on. Yeah, you're supposed to like put it on your turkey. That's what it's for, to like, you know, rub it on there to give it some more of like a different flavor. And I know like you can put like pineapple and stuff like that on ham. So like, I've never put cranberry on my ham, but wouldn't surprise if people did. But since I had my two centers as the turkey and the ham, you know, cranberry sauce is supposed to be the complement to both of those. So I was like, okay, okay. That makes sense for Goga. because we have seen a little bit of the pairing of Goga and Domas. So if cranberry sauce is meant for turkey to complement one another, I said, okay, we've seen enough of a sample size to say they've played minutes together in games that have been important. So I was like, I'll give it to Goga, but at the same time, a lot to be desired there, right?
That's absolutely correct.
Okay, so we'll move on from that one quickly. Let's move on to gravy.
Yeah.
This one was fun for me. Who did you have for the gravy?
You already said him. I'm going to put Torrey Craig there.
Okay.
Torrey Craig, to me, is a great complimentary piece. And, you know, I don't put gravy on everything on my Thanksgiving plate, especially I don't put it on the ham, but certainly the mashed potatoes and the turkey and, you know, a couple other things, or, you know, the bread roll. But, you know, the gravy should be complimentary to many parts of your team and many parts of your plate. And so far this season, I think that's what Torrey Craig has been.
Yeah, and this is why I put Keelan Martin in this role.
Okay.
I think his role has, you know, lessened a little bit over the last couple of games. But there, I mean, he even got a start for a couple of games there with the Pacers playing. I believe it was the Hornets he started in that game and the Pistons. So one of those things. Actually, it didn't start when the Hornets played because Duarte was back. But still, he got a start. And, you know, with Keelan, it's kind of funny because he's not like, to me, he's not a strong enough player to be his own side dish, but he's a compliment in a sense to where you can use him, like, you know, put him on that turkey, put him on those mashed potatoes, where he's a nice fill-in, a nice extra piece that you have on your bench. But no way or shape or form are you just eating gravy with a spoon. So that is why I put him for that. And then let's go to number 11, the dinner rolls. I think this could be the sleeper of them all. So this is my sleeper pick. The dinner rolls are one of my favorite things to look forward to.
Well, since you're excited about it, why don't you go first?
Okay. Just to explain it, because I like to explain my picks. Everybody has dinner rolls. Everybody likes dinner rolls. And everybody, you know, uses dinner rolls to fill themselves up. They're like, oh, I can eat these later tomorrow for leftovers if I want a ham sandwich or a turkey sandwich. And so I felt like Rick Carlisle deserves to be the dinner rolls of the table. He's taken a step back. He's letting them kind of run their own offense now. He said that he didn't want to be too, you know, too much of calling plays, that kind of thing. So he's taking that step back, and he's just still on the table, making sure everything's going afloat, and he's that perfect complimentary piece to the meal.
Boom. I like that. Kind of along the same lines, I'm going to put TJ McConnell here. I think bread rolls, especially depending on what kind of rolls they are. So we had our Friendsgiving, my friend group and I here in Indy earlier this past week. And one of my buddies was in charge of the dinner rolls, and he went to Texas Roadhouse and got Texas Roadhouse rolls, which I'm not sure if you know, Alex. I forgot if we talked about this.
You did. You told me this.
Yeah. Okay. We did. I know I talked about it with somebody. You could go to Texas Roadhouse and you could get rolls. You could buy bags of their rolls, $5 per dozen.
Mm.
That is a gold mine right there. But anyway, bread rolls are warm. They're fluffy and they're always reliable. And I know, you know, what you said about TJ McConnell earlier, but, you know, 7 times out of 10, I like TJ McConnell on the ball. I think he's reliable enough coming off the bench. And your bread rolls, they need to be reliable. If they're just kind of like, you know, like falling apart and not warm, and they're kind of like, all right. But like, if you get the right dinner rolls, that completes the meal right there.
Yeah, I agree with that. I actually, before I changed everything, I originally had TJ McConnell as the rolls. I will not lie. I had Torrey Craig as sweet potato casserole, and I had Rick Carlisle as the stuffing. I changed those three. I felt like I should change them. I don't know why. I wasn't feeling them. But I did skip one of the sides that I added towards the end here. So I'm going to jump to that one before we get to our desserts and our other stuff. Well, we actually have two more sides that we need to talk about. And so that'd be collard greens. I've never had collard greens for Thanksgiving ever. But I know it's constantly on those posts that go around on Facebook, on Instagram, and Twitter. You know, you gotta keep three of the next of these six. You know, which one you get rid of, those kind of things. And it's always like collard greens is on there. So who do you have for collard greens?
So I actually like collard greens, and I think you could put them with just about anything, kind of like your reasoning for this guy earlier. You could put them with anything on the plate and it will usually go. Mm. And that's why Keelan Martin is my collard
greens. Makes sense. See, I don't like collard greens. I've tried them before.
Okay.
They're not very good to me, but some people like them. Like you said, you think they're good. So that's why I went with Jeremy Lamb. I felt like,
for me,
I don't like collard greens, but they don't always show up to the Thanksgiving dinner meal, right? They're very selective if you have them or not. And Jeremy Lamb right now has been kind of selective if he's going to play or not. So I felt like this was the perfect side for him. And then moving on to the salad, I can't even remember if my family has salad at Thanksgiving. I don't usually eat it if we do have it, because there's too many other good sides to want to even try to have a salad, because you can have a salad any day of the week, right? But for me, like, the salad of Thanksgiving is such a lost side that I just said, sometimes you forget that salad's even there. And that's kind of how I feel about O'Shea Brissett on this roster.
Okay. See, I'm going to take a different approach to salad. I'm going to say salad, depending on what kind of salad it is, especially if it's Caesar salad, which I told you is my favorite.
Yes.
That is my all-time favorite. Salad on a Thanksgiving menu has the potential to be good, but you don't know for sure if it is until you put it in your mouth. Thus, somebody that has the potential to be great, but you just don't know it yet, is Isaiah Jackson.
Mm. I have Isaiah listed elsewhere. So I will save that for a little bit, because it makes sense though. I mean, if you're a big Caesar salad guy like you are, that it's got the potential to be good. Now, there are some nasty Caesar salads that I've tried, but
trust me, not all Caesar salads are created equal.
No, they definitely not. My wife is a big fan of Caesar salad. I'm more of a house salad kind of guy. I like iceberg lettuce. I really do.
Yep.
But I can eat a Caesar salad. It's not bad. It's probably my second choice if I have to pick one. but Let's go to deviled eggs. Who do you have for deviled eggs?
I hate deviled eggs. I will say it. Deviled eggs confuse me. I don't know what they are. And those that have recipes for deviled eggs can put them in the Christmas fire. I understand why he's on the team, but if he does not, if there's nobody injured in front of him, there is no room for him. And that's Brad Wanamaker.
Hey, another one. We matched up there with the deviled eggs for Brad Wanamaker. And my reasoning was, look, like, even if you like deviled eggs, after you eat them, you have the nastiest gas and it stinks so bad after. And it's like, okay, so it might be good in the moment, but then it stinks really bad after. So it's like you pay for what you get when you eat a deviled egg. And that's kind of what you get with Brad Wanamaker. You might get a good Brad Wanamaker game in Charlotte. Then you might get another one where he has 5 turnovers in the first quarter, dribbling the ball off his leg. You know, that's just kind of who Brad Wanamaker is. So we saved the best for last year, obviously. Pumpkin pie, apple pie, the highlight that everybody's looking forward to. So who is your pumpkin pie?
So I think you're going to hate me after this. Mm. I dislike anything pumpkin flavored.
Okay.
I am not a pumpkin guy. I have never drank a pumpkin spice latte. I have never used a Halloween pumpkin for anything other than carving it, the pumpkin. I do not eat pumpkin. I have tried it. I disliked it. And it is not my style. Okay. And I think pumpkin pie, again, I have tried it, but I think it is wildly overrated. And some people might stop listening to the podcast hearing it, so I'm sorry. But I'm not saying he's wildly overrated, but just for what he is on this team, Jeremy Lamb.
Okay, that's fair. I think pumpkin pie is just a staple of Thanksgiving. Everybody always has a pumpkin pie for their dessert.
Always.
And most people look forward to having it. Ooh, pumpkin pie? I want some of that, you know, like nobody wants it any other time of the year, but they want it this time of year. And I felt like because it's such the star prize dessert, I felt like that's where I should slot Chris Duarte as the pumpkin pie, just because, you know, it's sweet, it's good, but kind of like his shooting numbers, you know, high volume, but a low percentage, right? So 17 points on 18 shots, not great efficiency, but, you know, it's still good. And you can really kind of mix anything pumpkin around this time of year. You know, you got, like you said, pumpkin spice latte, you've got pumpkin rolls, you got pumpkin cheesecake, you've got pumpkin seeds that you can have year round. I mean, you can make anything pretty much out of pumpkins, and it is a bit overdone. I agree with you there. I'm not the biggest pumpkin pie fan myself. It's okay. I think if it's made right, it's pretty good. But to me, I prefer our last option here, and that's the apple pie. Yeah. But I think apple pie is also kind of like not the popular one of the pies when it comes to Thanksgiving, but it's still, you know, exciting for people to eat it. So that's why for me, I have Isaiah Jackson around things. That is the apple pie.
Okay. So I think the pumpkin pie might be our most different answer, at least between me and you. I like pie. I'm a pie fan, and around the holidays, depending on the pie you get, like for Christmas, the King family strawberry banana pie is a staple.
Okay.
But apple pie, of course, in the fall and into November, is rock solid, rock solid. And usually when healthy, when apple pie is healthy, that's always something you're grabbing after dinner. When healthy, the guy that's making buckets is Caris LeVert.
Yep. Makes sense. And, you know, apple pie is really good. I prefer apple pie with a little scoop of vanilla ice cream. I don't know.
Oh,
that, you can't get a better combination than that, I mean, for dessert.
Man, do we get some after this interview?
Man, I mean, if I could give you some right now, I would gladly cut you a slice and scoop you a little scoop of vanilla ice cream. But, you know, that is something I always look forward to. I think homemade stuff is the best. If you're trying to get the store-bought stuff, you know, you get what you pay for, right? It's, you know, we had a little luncheon for our work the other day, and someone bought pumpkin pie, and I bit into it. I said, oh, this is not good. The crust is soggy. It's just been sitting there for a while. You need a fresh one out of the oven. Apple pie, man, it is so good. I think Isaiah Jackson, for me, part of the reason why I did it is because it's just so enticing. Like, when you see apple pie, you're not going to turn it down. You want to see it, but you don't get to see it very often. So this was a lot of fun. Go ahead and tell everybody who you have for Rick Carlisle.
Rick Carlisle is the greatest part of Thanksgiving, and you got to give that to the head coach. The greatest part of Thanksgiving is, I'm not sure, when do you guys usually eat your Thanksgiving dinner? What time?
I feel like it differs every year, but this year we're eating it at 3.
Okay, we are every year, 4:30, book it.
Okay.
If it's not at 4:30, I have concerns. At 4:30, you eat for about 45 minutes, right? Call it. Mm-hmm. And then you get up and then you prepare for the final Thanksgiving football game. And as you prepare for that, you fall asleep, you sink yourself into the couch, and you doze off. The Thanksgiving nap is what Rick Carlisle is. And that was my first thought when you asked me.
I know. I said, I want to get Carlisle in here. We only have 15. What do you think we should do? And you said, he's got to be the Thanksgiving nap. And so I was like, okay. I was like, I took it a little bit seriously. And then I was like, well, I was like, it's not technically a food. So let me throw another side in here. But I mean, we could have got into
still the an meat. Important part of Thanksgiving.
Right. So that is where I was confused when you said Ronald Norwood. I said, man, who did he leave back here? Because I was like, did he put Carlisle? And then when I found out you left Carlisle out for that, I was okay with it. So This was pretty fun. I think that for the most part, our answers kind of matched up, even though they were different. Our reasoning for picking them was kind of similar. So a lot of fun. I hope you guys enjoyed this exercise. If you didn't, I apologize, but hope you're having a great Thanksgiving anyway. So, hope you guys are having safe travels. If you're traveling, listening to this, if you're at home, be safe, have a great time with your family. That's all I care about. But BK, this is going to wrap up our show. I thank you once again for, you know, coming on the show, and hopefully we can get you back on again later on this season, and might have to do like a Christmas wish list or something like that, or a New Year's resolution for the Pacers. Who knows? But BK, any final thoughts, anything you want to promote?
Yeah, man. This Saturday, I'm calling the two-way state championship game on the IHSAA Champions Radio awesome. Network, the football side, Andrean against Evansville, Notre Dame, and then I'll be on Indiana Sports Talk on Network Indiana both nights. So
awesome.
Should be a busy weekend, but now happy Thanksgiving, Eagle, and appreciate your time. And, you know, I always enjoy chatting.
Absolutely. You too, man. Hope you have a great Thanksgiving. And just real quick, you do have a podcast, right?
I do. Yeah. Anywhere podcasts are found, Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, just search The Brendan King Show. Just posted a new episode on Tuesday with actually the director of the College Football Playoff, Bill Hancock. So a lot of interesting nuggets from that. From the latest top four Cincinnati's in. So,
all right. Well, you know how we usually end this show. I'm assuming you might not know if you don't listen frequently, but at the end of every show with my co-host Facci, I say, let's say these three words, and he always shouts out, let's go Pacers. So I'm going to set you up here. I'm going to run down the list where people can find us out on social media, and then I'm going to set you up for those three words. So the three words you're going to say at the end of this are let's go Pacers emphatically. But if you want to find us on social media, we're at Twitter at Setting the Pace 3. I'm at Alex School MBA. My co-host Facci is at _FACCI. We're over on Instagram at Pacers Talk and at Setting the Pace on Facebook and TikTok. So if you're hoping the Pacers can recover from this loss and get a big win, I believe they play the Raptors next. They do. The Toronto Raptors on Friday night. If you're hoping for a big win against the Raptors on Friday night, say these three words.
Let's go Pacers!
Duarte fires it up. Yes! Hits it! What a shot by Duarte!